from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and, like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm, like, taking pot shots at Brian Brom, because, like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because wow.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yes, it is preseason season. Sorry, English teachers. It is preseason season. It is fantasy football season. It's not football season. It's fantasy football season. How about that, Bulldog? Does that work for you? Does that ring a bell?
I guess I'll allow it.
A man we have spoken with before that is a great chat on both topics, Cody Carpentier from, you know, Roster Watch. But Cody, I think the only right way to say it is Roster Watch.
That is correct. That is the right way to say it is Roster Watch.
That's the the official pronunciation of Roster Watch.
All right, I'll get back to you on that. I'll see if I'll work my way up.
Bulldog is not yet on board. Cody has a good write-up on the Bills from the practice yesterday in Pittsburgh on Twitter or X at Cody Carpentier. Let's talk about some of what you saw. Maybe we'll let you lead with what you think might have been the most interesting or meaningful for information from the Bills yesterday.
Well, there's a couple things that immediately stuck out. First off, Mike, Bulldog, I appreciate you guys having me on as always. The first thing, I guess, that stuck out maybe was I wanted to see Curtis Samuel, which he didn't practice, and there was no questions beforehand to Coach McDermott in the pre-practice presser about why he wasn't practicing. It was more focused on why Dawson Knox wasn't practicing. However, he didn't. I think it was for vet rest. But the biggest takeaway was Keon Coleman. I went in there to look and see what Keon Coleman was going to look like, what his connection was going to look like with Josh Allen. And as someone who, myself, had not been to any Bills practices this year or nothing, this is the first time I've seen the Bills of 2024, Josh Allen has a good connection with everybody in that receiving room, in the tight end room, except for Keon Coleman. And I don't blame it on Keon Coleman's separation. That's what a lot of people on the old social media are doing right now. They're like, well, Keon Coleman couldn't separate in college. It's not about that. Something is off by just a hair. It's just Keon's a very talented wide receiver. Josh is obviously a very, very talented quarterback, but something is just off in their clicking. There's a lot of opportunities for the ball to be placed in a certain spot, and Allen may be a little bit early, a little bit late, or Keon's in the wrong spot by just what seems like, you know, milli-inches. So I think that was my biggest takeaway, was just seeing that the connection just isn't established yet. Where, you know, I was in Washington a couple of days ago, and I saw a connection between Jaden Daniels and, you know, Terry McLaurin, or another rookie down in Jacksonville and Brian Thomas. That one's still being established with Trevor Lawrence. That's not exactly, you know, perfect, but you are seeing, you know, clips of that on social media. But, I mean, Trevor Lawrence missed Brian Thomas a handful of times as well. But this one in Buffalo feels like it has a lot more weighing on it, because there's no true wide receiver one, and Keon Coleman is expected to be that guy.
Yeah, this is interesting, because all through camp, we've gotten, a daily highlight, right? Some big catch radius type play, like just like highlight reel type catches, like, you know, teams generally will do, although it's not all the team account that's doing it. But there's also, I feel like most days there's, well, there was a, you know, turn this way and maybe should have turned that way. Don't know. Like you're saying, just a little bit off. And I feel like that's been pretty persistent through this so far.
Yeah, and the thing is you can see him working. Like, I don't just watch them when they're on the field. Like, they'll come off and, you know, Trubisky will go out there and work with the twos and whatever. And it'll be, and Keon and Josh Allen be standing on the sideline, like, discussing what the problem is. And you can see they're working through it. And this isn't, again, these guys have been practicing for not even a month. They haven't probably had 30 total practices in, you know, offseason and in season. So, it's going to come in due time. And like I said, I compared it to, I was in Jacksonville literally the day before and was watching Trevor Lawrence connect with Brian Thomas, who's also a rookie. And they weren't perfect. But the difference between those guys is that Brian Thomas is running literally two routes in his entire route tree right now, and it's a lot easier, whereas they're trying to establish Keon in a little bit of a higher role. So it's going to take a little bit longer. I don't think it's going to be a thing that's going to take all season. But, you know, maybe we don't see them click until week 5, 6, 7, I don't know.
Yeah. Are you relatively bullish on Coleman? You alluded to earlier just a moment ago that you think he'll be a very good player in the NFL. Like, where I don't remember when we talked to you. I know we did talk to you numerous times in the spring, Cody. Like, where are you on him as a prospect?
Keon's a very special player in a couple of different dimensions, in that he's not fast off of the foot in testing. Obviously, he ran the 4.6, but on the field, like, he's as athletic as, I mean, you guys have all seen it in practice so far with Buffalo, but like, the catch radius is the number one thing. I had him ranked as my number 9 wide receiver, which in a very stacked class I think is respectable. I had him ahead of the Brian Thomases, the Roman Wilsons, and guys like that I've mentioned already. Keon's a guy that the ceiling is as high as you want it to be. He can be a wide receiver one. He has, you know, abilities in his game that kind of remind you of, this is just going to sound maniacal, but like the high end and low end comps of like Terrell Owens and Cedric Tillman. And Cedric Tillman's from Tennessee, who is in Cleveland right now, right? Like, you can see both of those games in Keon Coleman. It's just about digging and finding that next level. And I'm not trying to come on here and tell you guys he's going to be Terrell Owens by any means.
Right, right.
It's just that Terrell Owens ran a 4.65 or 4.68, and he was a slower, a little bit tighter, stockier build in the lower quadrants. And he was also a guy that had a very good catch radius and was very dependable in the red zone and things like that. So I'm a big fan of Keon Coleman. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time.
Speaking of wide receivers, you're in on Tyrell Shavers, at least to make the team, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's making the team. This is one that, so, Mike, I don't like to go into these things with a lot of information. I like to, you know, I do a couple training camps. I did a couple last year. I've done pro days and things like this. I don't like to know much before I go in. I want to go in with pretty much a dry slate. And it's hard to do with some of the big names like Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman. But the Shavers thing I've seen pop up on X, but I haven't really dug it. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear any buzz. And I show up there, and I'm looking. I know the name Justin Shorter from the draft cycle 2 years ago. I know the name Deion Kane from, you know, the last 7 years of trying to make rosters and things like that. And I'm looking for these guys. I'm looking for Mac Hollins, who's not hard to miss. And then we hear Chase Claypool's cut. And I'm out there watching these one-on-ones. I'm watching team drills. And every time I see the jersey flick up and it's got an S on it, I'm like, oh, that must be Justin Wait, that's not Justin Shorter. Who is that? Looks down at my notes. Tyrell Shavers. That happened like 5 times at practice just against Pittsburgh. He's got great length. Again, I mean, his story's pretty – it goes back deep. It goes back to, you know, Alabama, Mississippi State, things of this nature. And it just hasn't clicked all the way through for him. But – this guy's making the 53. He is considerably more advanced in his route tree than Justin Shorter, than Deion Kane. Obviously, Chase Claypool's been dealing with injuries, and they've moved on from him. But this guy's right on the heels, I would say, of Mac Hollins. I know Mac Hollins is a pro's pro. He's been in the league for what feels like a decade now. I'm not saying by any means Shavers is going to surpass him, but as far as what you're getting on the field, Shavers is right up there with Mac Hollins.
Interesting. Good. This is what you want to hear, right? We've been talking about receivers every day for 6 months, and you know what's happened and what's not happened, right? Diggs traded, Davis leaves, and these other continuing efforts, even this week with Deion Kane and Damir Bird, and maybe Corey Davis got the Bills' interest. You know, just they're grasping here to try to find somebody. What would really help them is if one of these guys that they've had, he was signed in January to one of those reserve future contracts, Shavers, popped. And it sounds like you think that could be happening. So that's great news for the fans if it's right.
100%. It's like the build that he brings to the table, it's obviously something they've wanted. You know, Gabe Davis, he brought that different thing to the game. And I remember early on in his career, it was touchdown dependent, and they just push it down to him downfield. And if they can find a role like that, even for Shavers early on, and instill some continued confidence, like, I don't know really what the ceiling looks like for a guy like Shavers, but in this offense, they just need something, it feels like, downfield. I thought Khalil Shakir, I thought Dalton Kincaid each had great days. They feel like the focal points, though. I know, obviously, you know, Shope, you're doing a ton of fantasy drafts right now, and we got the Deep End Invitational coming up, and I don't want to give you too much, but Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid, without Curtis Samuel, that's the tough part. They seem like they're very dependable, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, I feel like Shakir, he's not got a lot of volume. A lot of people are kind of hanging on to like the Diggs downturn and the emergence of Shakir over the last, like I said, it was a month and a half or so of the season, and you know the numbers back that up. I feel like they, and Allen especially, you're talking about this, you know, trusting the rookie and, you know, are they connecting? I feel like Shakir, the ball is near him. He's not catch radius guy. He's a littler guy, but he gets his hands on the ball. Like, he catches the ball. And I feel like he is someone, if he gets a lot of opportunity in the slot, I wouldn't be shocked if he was their leading receiver among receivers. I think Kincaid is probably going to lead the team, but I feel like Shakir could smash.
I think 100%. I feel you on that. Shakir was one that, and again, it sucks because there's no Dawson Knox. He had a groin and a calf, they said, so he didn't practice yesterday. And then, of course, Curtis Samuel. So it was a little bit tough to kind of project in the red zone, but Shakir found a lot of openings in the defense, in the red zone, that Josh Allen was able to find him. And that's what I'm saying, like the connections between that and the connection between him and Coleman. Like, you can just tell there's a stark difference in communication and understanding of routes and where the ball's going to be. And Shakir has got that dialed in, and he found him quite a bit. Kincaid's another one that he's listed at 246 when he came out for the draft. I don't know what he's listed on the Buffalo website, but he looks like he's barely any bigger than Eric Decker. Eric Decker was, you know, of course, 6'4", I don't know what it was, 220. He looks like a completely, you know, like an ex-wide receiver. And it was weird seeing they actually moved out. Kincaid played a little outside, inside. Quentin Morris, I thought he had a great practice. Quentin Morris, you know, where was he at? He was at, the school just blew up in my head. It doesn't really matter. But Quentin Morris is a guy that I remember coming out of college was being compared to, like, you know, Jonnu Smith. This could be the next Jonnu Smith. And he hasn't really hit, but he had opportunities yesterday. It looked great. But, yeah, Dalton Kincaid, Shakir, Quentin Morris all really, you know, looked good in the red zone area yesterday. And Kincaid, like you said, I think that's definitely the number one. There's no, hey, Keon Coleman's going to be our number one. Hey, Shakir's going to be our number one. They're going to fulfill this Stephon Diggs, you know, gaping opening. This feels like it's Kincaid's team for sure.
Quentin Morris, Bowling Green, by the way, here to help. I don't know if I'll do the roster watch voice, but I got you, Bowling Green.
Did you look it up?
I had the orange color in my head. I just couldn't think of the school. I was like, I saw it on the tip of my tongue.
Right.
You know, if I may, back to Shavers, because I'm sure you know more about his college career than I do. I'm looking at it now. 6 years, three schools, you know, one of these guys. There's a lot of special teams on here, Cody, like block punts. He finished in a tie for first with most block punts in San Diego State history in two seasons. And the Bills might like that too, whatever role he might serve on special teams, but they always want that if it's there. So, you know, is there anything specific about him as a college player that you'd want to share?
I'm not even going to lie. I haven't tracked Tyrell Shavers literally since he committed to Alabama back in 2018.
Okay.
And I remember he was a top, I think it was 15, top 20 high school recruit at the position. And it didn't really work out at Alabama. He transferred away. I mean, you know, I heard you guys talking about Javon Baker beforehand here from the just in the last segment from the New England game. Javon Baker did the same thing. He was at Alabama for 2 years, transferred away, and he hit. And Shavers kind of did the similar thing. They were there, I think, just a year apart. And Shavers went to Mississippi State, went to San Diego State, started to pop off. And like you said, the special teams is the biggest thing that comes into it. And that's how you make these rosters. These guys, when you talk to these coaches, you talk to the position coaches, you talk to general managers, it always starts and finishes with the special teams. And that's obviously a place that Shavers was able to cut his teeth through college and make it through. And just to tie that together with another Bill, just to bring it back to the Bills, Dorian Williams,
yep.
Everything before practice yesterday, McDermott brought up Dorian Williams. We really got to depend on Dorian Williams with Matt Milano being out and, of course, leading into Terrell Bernard as a leader on that defense. But Dorian Williams last year played 261 of those snaps out of 472 on special teams. Like, it's important. And Shavers being able to do that, they'll be able to utilize him. That's how he'll stay on this roster, is be playing on the special teams as well as working in at the receiver position, you know, when there's inevitably injuries.
Cody Carpentier, our guest here on the Wester Hotline, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
I'm not eager to run away from the offensive players and the fantasy analysis. We still want to talk about running backs because you made an interesting observation being there yesterday about Ty Johnson, Cody, but you brought up Dorian Williams' name. Do you have a thought on him from before the draft? And because there's a lot of attention on him right now, obviously.
The one thing I can remember about Dorian Williams out of Tulane was at the Senior Bowl. Seeing this guy fly around at the Senior Bowl and just wondering, man, this guy, he would be a borderline, I thought at the time, borderline first-round pick had he been at a Power 5. But instead he was at Tulane. He had super long arms, super athletic player, and it was very impressive just to see him running around the Senior Bowl. That's the biggest takeaway that I had through the whole pre-draft process. And when he went to Buffalo, my instinct, of course, last year was, well, Tremaine Edmonds is gone. That means Dorian Williams is going to be able to walk in here and bring some energy to this linebacker room. And it didn't really, you know, obviously pan out that way as a rookie because he's playing a ton of special teams. But now the opportunity is there with Matt Milano out. So, I mean, I love Dorian Williams. I love the fit in Buffalo, the play style perspective of it, and just how he's going to be able to run around out there. But it seems like from a player perspective, they're expecting more of Dorian Williams to obviously fulfill how important Milano is to this defense. But, you know, Terrell Bernard's another one that I hadn't realized. Like, the big thing that McDermott brought up was his influence and his leadership on that defense, fulfilling Milano being out again as he was last year at times. So I just think it's going to be interesting. They both looked very good at practice in Pittsburgh, but yeah, Dorian Williams is a top-end athlete, the linebacker position, and I just remember thinking that at the Senior Bowl that, man, this guy, he's going to go middle of the draft. What did he end up with? Almost the fourth round? I thought he was going to end up being an early second, late first type of situation had he been, like I said, in a Power 5.
Ty Johnson versus Ray Davis, Cody, what did it look like, and what do you think will happen?
Oh, boy. I mean, this was one that I went to practice, and of course, being in the fantasy space perspective, I was having my eyes on Ray Davis. Everybody knows Ty Johnson in the last 6 years of showing up in backfields and taking opportunities away, but I knew Ty Johnson had been out for the last couple of weeks, and he returned this week to practice. That's as much as I did know. And during the pre-practice press conference, like I said, they brought up Ty Johnson's name. They're like, is Ty Johnson going to be out there today? And I was like, wait, why do people care that Ty Johnson is going to be out there again? They have Ray Davis and James Cook, and we go out there, and it was immediately Ty Johnson as the number two running back working in ahead of Ray Davis. And as far as the splits go, it was very different, and I don't know what the expectation is, but, you know, I watched Rashad White, Bucky Irving the day before. I watched Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, both, you know, 70-30, 75-25 splits. Najee and Jaylen Warren in Pittsburgh was more of like a 65-35, 60-40. It felt like they were subbing in Ty Johnson and Ray Davis a little bit more. And, again, that could be situational at practice, just trying to get run, knowing James Cook is the guy. But, yeah, Ty Johnson felt like he was just set right back in that running back two role, or I shouldn't say set back into it. He was set into it, kind of right ahead of Ray Davis, who I had some expectations for coming in. But They like Ty. They speak highly of Ty, and he looked good out there. He looked efficient in the receiving game as well.
Interesting. You mentioned the deep end invitational. I know Bulldog wants to get a question in on that before we're done, too. last year, who can forget Cody going with Anthony Richardson 101 in one of the deep end invitational drafts? It is a super flex format, so quarterbacks do go early. Last night, we started this year's version, and he went, I think, fifth. Richardson this year, Cody, are you as maybe even like more confident than a year ago at this time because of what you saw? Or is there possibly something about, you know, the injury stuff or something else about his game that has dampened your enthusiasm?
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little worried about the injury stuff. You know, I saw enough last year to believe what he can be, and I think everybody knows what he can be if everything goes right. This offensive line, we just got done doing our offensive line full-blown overhaul rankings. This is from a grading perspective of how these guys performed last year in the offensive line. Indianapolis is still up there, number two overall, and Jonathan Taylor's there, Anthony Richardson's there. This offense should be efficient from a running perspective. And the weaponry around him, Downs is a little bit banged up right now, Adonai Mitchell, Alec Pierce is at a good camp, Michael Pittman, there's tons of talent in Indianapolis. I don't think that's a question. It's about how efficient Anthony Richardson is and if he can stay healthy. Because obviously rushing, it poses its downfalls, like Robert Griffin, like Cam Newton, like all of these guys have passed. But also with that, you have to be a little bit, you don't have to be a little bit, you have to be more dependable in the passing game to keep those defenses honest and not play you, you know. And that's what I'm worried about. We had Trash Man from Roster Watch at the Colts and Cardinals camp the last 2 days. And he basically came back, and he was at the Bears the day before watching Caleb Williams. And he came back, and he's just, you know, obviously not a great comp to have, like comparing Caleb Williams to, you know, to Richardson as far as efficiency goes in the passing game. But he was like, man, this guy's still got a little ways to go. And this is a guy that also came back a year ago and said the same thing about Justin Fields. And I'm talking about having a little way to go, and that's uh-huh. Richardson in the passing perspective. So I'm a little worried from that side of the thing. I don't think he's as bad as Justin Fields. So I don't know how I want to phrase that, but I don't think he's in as bad of a situation as Justin Fields has been the last couple of years. So will I take him with the 101 if I'm gifted the 101? No. Not this year. But
you've already done it.
If it's right, I might do it.
You've already done it. You don't want to be known for like that. That's his one trick. He's drafting Richardson at 101.
Well, this probably came up last year when you did this because we were both big backers of Richardson. I don't remember for sure, Mike, but I know I said numerous times, if I was drafting first overall, that's the guy I would have picked.
In the real draft.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So doing it in a fantasy context, I tip my hat to you, Cody.
Yeah, it was great. Great content. Great move. It should have worked. Right? I mean, what a start. It was so exciting. I was texting Adam Krautwurst that fourth game, which was it for him. He ran for two touchdowns against Houston before it was 110. And, I mean, it was just like explosion. And then, you know, done for the
that
year.
That was the end of that.
Yeah.
It was at about that point when I had, because I had him, I had Dak, and I had Kirk Cousins. And I remember at that point, like week three, week four, I was like, well, this league is a wrap. I'm winning. I'm running away with this thing.
Yeah,
and then it kind of all went downhill from there. But it was fun while it lasted.
It must have been. I wouldn't know because it was not my year. Anyway,
Roster Watch.
There it is, Cody Carpentier. Follow him.
You won me over, Cody.
Not just some of these in-depth Bills analysis we're having here, but also the other teams he's mentioned. How he's been on the road a lot, and that must be really fun. So thanks for fitting us in.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it, Bulldog. I appreciate it, Mike. And I see you guys.
All right. See you next time. Cody Carpentier, Roster Watch, right there. Tyrell Shavers. Are you buying it? Are you feeling it? Ray Davis? Maybe it's Ty Johnson over Ray Davis. Cody had some interesting thoughts here. 803-0550. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio at 5. We've got plenty of time to talk to you here next after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.